You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our associate pastor, Brent Hand, with this week's message.
Started, I want to ask you, do you know who, have you ever heard of Stephen Feltham? You ever heard of Stephen Feltham? If you're here first service, don't say you've heard him because you only know him because you heard about him first service. In 1991, he was 26 years old, and he lived in Dorset, England. He was installing security alarms, burglar alarms, and he realized that was basically going to be his life for the rest of time. He was going to be, you know, just installing the security alarms, and he said he just had this feeling of like, is this all there is to life? Is this all that you're going to do? And he felt a call on his life to go and do something different, and so he sold his house. He gave up his career, his job. He gave it up. He broke up with his girlfriend, and he moved into a van, and he moved to northern Scotland, and he lived on the shore of Loch Ness, the Hunt Nessie. Okay? That's what he did. He's done that since 1991. That's what he's been doing. And y'all thought he was going to, you know, do something else, but he's hunting Nessie. And over the years, he says he's come to the conclusion that what he's been looking for and chasing after isn't a giant plesiosaur, a giant dinosaur that's in the water floating around, but it's probably just a big fish. It's probably just some, you know, something that we're mistaking for a big dinosaur, a big monster of some kind. And he said, but he's okay with that because, you know, his life's been so fun because he's done that. He's given himself over to this dream, and he's lived, and it's been... it's been fun. It's been an exciting thing to do. And, you know, I look at that and I wonder, is that what you hope for your life? Do you hope when you get to the end, you say, you know what? I chased some things. I didn't find anything, but at least I had fun. Is that what you hope for? Because the things that as Christians, the things that we're chasing after aren't myths and legends. They aren't just fairy tales and things. These are the truths that people have found hope in, that billions of people have found hope in for the past 2 millennia, that people have lived and died for in the name of Christ. They've lived for these things. And you and I, we've experienced them too. We've read the words of Jesus. We found the wisdom and the truth there. We've experienced the life change, the work that he's doing in us. We've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We've seen the goodness of God throughout our lives. And so what we're basing our life on, what we're chasing, isn't some, you know, maybe, you know, kind of misty, kind of whatever is out there, mystery type item. We're chasing after the living God. We're chasing after something with weight and meaning, and it's much deeper than Loch Ness. You know, but as much as we want to make fun of, you know, I said that a minute ago, and everybody laughed. We all laughed. I laughed when I read about this guy. But as much as we want to say about him, about Stephen Feltham, he was all in. He gave up his house, his career, his girlfriend, so many other things he gave up in pursuit of what we laughed at. And so how much more should we be all in on this thing that we say has changed our lives, that we say we found hope in? How much more should we be all in on it? What have we given up? What have we thrown to the wayside in order to pursue this? And last week we talked about the old houses. We talked about the things that we were living in, ones that we're building ourselves. And I read this quote from C.S. Lewis, and I've got kind of a shorter version of it, but kind of imagine yourself as a house that God's working on. And it said, he is building quite a different house from the one that you thought of. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace he intends to come and live in himself. And so we need the power of God. We need the presence of God in our lives. And we read through, just a quick little recap here. We read through the first 12 or so verses, or I think 11 verses of Colossians chapter 3. And we talked about how, you know, we need to set our minds not on earthly things, but on heavenly things. And that there are these two differentiated categories of things in this world, of things that are of this earth and things that are of heaven. And it's not physical and spiritual. It's not that, you know, because people are physical and we care about people. So it's not just to focus on the spiritual things. It's to focus on the things of heaven, the things that God cares about, instead of the things that we care about, the things that we want. And then we talked about putting to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Not just live with it, but to get rid of it, clear it out, remove it. And then we read in verse 9 and 10 that you've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed. And so we're talking about if it's a house, it's not just a, you know, tear out a few things. It's a tear down completely. It's not a remodel. It's going down to nothing and then letting God build something better in its place. And so are we open to that? You know, as we look, I want us to look at, today we're going to look at what is it we're putting on. Yesterday, last week we took off the old self. We talked about that and take out the old things. What is the new that we're putting on? So we're going to look at that today. Look at a few verses more from Colossians chapter 3. And lay a foundation. But let's read this real quick. Verses 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's say a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your spirit, for the way you've already moved in this place, for meeting us here today. I pray that you would just speak to us, that you would open our hearts to what it is you want to say to us, that any distractions, anything else going on, that we remove that, that would be taken out of the way so that we can hear what you want to say today. I pray that we'd be open to what it is that you want to build in our life, God, that we would set aside the things that we want and that we would fully embrace the things that you want to build in our life. And so we just pray right now that you'd speak to hearts, change lives, be with us today, God. I can only say what it is that's in my notes, but God, I pray through the Holy Spirit, I know that you are able to speak through to every person here, and so I pray you do that today. And I cannot do this now without you. Anoint me, use my words today. I pray you just be with us through the rest of this service. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So in this verse, going on to the next slide, I've got it kind of where highlighted there. We can see it, but there's some things that are outlined here that are of this new self, this new thing that God is doing in our life. What are they? They're compassion, they're kindness, they're humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, and thankfulness. These are things that we all know are good. These are the things we all want to see. If I say that sounds like a good person to me. But if we were talking about really how possible it is, or if we do those things, maybe not, you know. Yeah. Here's the thing, is the old person may want to do these things. The old you may want to do these things, but it's impossible for someone who is not with Christ to live out these things to the extent that Jesus wants us to truly live out a life that fulfills all these things. Because it's really easy to be compassionate, you know, when my heart breaks for you. But what about when the emotion isn't there? It's not as easy. It's very easy to be kind to somebody when we feel like it. You know, it's very easy to be humble when there's not much to brag about. It's very easy to be meek and gentle when everything's going your way. It's very easy to be patient when no one's annoying you. When everything's, you know, again, everything's going your way. It's very easy to forgive, you know, someone that you care about, someone you love. And it's easy to love someone that loves you in return. It's easy to have peace when everything looks is in its place and everything feels safe and secure and everything's the way it's supposed to be. And it's very easy to be thankful when you see the blessings of God. But what about when you don't? What about when you're dealing with the opposite of all those things? That's where the problem is. It's hard to be compassionate sometimes. It's hard to be kind. It's hard to be loving. It's hard to be forgiving sometimes with some people. It's hard to have peace in certain times in our life. It's hard to be thankful when things don't work out our way. But we look, why do we not naturally do these things? I think it's because we're always looking at, we look at those things and we say, oh no, if I do that, that sounds really good. But if I start doing that all the time, what's that going to do to my bank account? What's that going to do to my reputation? What are people going to think about me? What are people going to say about me? How's it going to hurt my social life? How's that going to hurt you know, the opinions of people about me? What's that going to do to my safety? Is that really the safest way for me to live? Is that going to lead to success at my job? Is that going to lead to success at school? Is that going to, what's that going to do to my time? I have lots of other things going on. I don't know that I have time to do that. To live like that all the time. What is going to do to my goals? What's that going to do to the things that I want to accomplish? And when we talk about those kind of things, those voices are all there in our heads when we're looking at that list of things, the good things that we need to be doing. But when we hear those voices, what we're really hearing is our kingdom, is we're hearing the voices of the things I want, of the things that I want to do. You know, It's very true that we have old wounds, we have baggage that we bring into any situation, and that sometimes when we carry that in, it makes us realize that, like, we're very self-defensive about things, or maybe we're raised in a world that is very self-centered, and so it's very hard to start looking away from ourselves, because if I don't take care of me, who's going to take care of me, you know? And so we begin to bring these things into our relationships and our walk with God, and that's just not the way he wants us to be. He wants us to trust him, that he's going to take care of us, and that if we'll be patient and loving and kind and compassionate, if we'll be people of peace and thankfulness, that he'll take care of us, that we don't have to take care of ourselves. He's going to take care of us, and that his plans for us are better than our plans. His ideas, where he wants to take us in this life, is so much bigger and better than where we want to go. You know, we read about, you know, we just want to build a little cottage, but he wants to build a palace. He wants to do something amazing in your life, and the thing is the goals and the dreams of this world compared to the dreams and goals of God, they look very different, but so do the results. The results, we know so many people, we know so many stories of people who did all the right things, that chased all the right things, that met all the deadlines, that got all the things that are supposed to make you fulfilled and happy, and where did they end up? How did they end up? We want to chase after the things of God, and we want to do what it says there in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed we've been called to one body. So last week, again, we talked about ripping out the old, tearing down the old. Let's talk about a new foundation. And I think there's five things we're going to go through as quick as possible. We're going to talk about them as briefly as possible. Five things in this verse that are foundational that we need to have in our life. And here's the thing. I don't know. I can't see the future. I don't know. But I do know right now we are blessed as the church to have freedom, to feel a bit of safety in who we are. But I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what tomorrow. And like in America, we have a very like shallow view, a very sheltered view of what it means to suffer for the gospel and those kind of things. And we call out persecution all the time when it's not persecution. I don't know what the future holds. And so I want a life that outlast whatever it is, that's not blown to the sides by just every little wind that comes, every little shakeup, every little bad thing that happens. But I want something that's foundational that I can be rooted in, and I hope you do too. And so here's five things we're going to talk about very quickly. I'm saying it saying it and claiming it, all that kind of stuff. Where it's going to be as quickly as possible. Five things that are foundational to live the life that Christ wants us to build the foundation for that palace. And the first one is found in verse 12. It says, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He's telling us who we are there. You know, and we need to know, number one, know who you are. You are chosen, you are holy, you are loved. You are chosen, you are holy, you are loved. You're chosen, and you're not an accident. You're not. You may feel like that your life is just luck or whatever. You're not here by accident. God has a plan for your life. You are chosen. There is something God wants to do in your life. And so instead of walking through life hoping things work out for you, you can walk through life knowing that God wants to do amazing things in your life. Now, is that always going to be roses and sunshine? No, but just like in Genesis, where Joseph tells his brothers, he says, hey, you meant to do evil to me, but God meant to turn it around and do good for me. And that's the same thing. It's when bad things happen, God's a big enough God that he can take the bad things that happen and turn them out to make them good for you. Are we going to go through things? Sure. But at the end of the day, we're chosen, and God is working things out for us. If you're following him, you're trusting him, your life's in his hands, then you're chosen, and he's doing something in your life. John 15 tells us that you did not choose me, but I chose you. So you're chosen. Second, you're holy. It sounds even weird saying that. I'm holy. No, God's holy, but he's done a work in our life. He has consecrated us and made us able to do his work here on earth. And so we are called to be holy. And so, yeah, we don't like to say, I'm holy. I don't feel like I'm there yet. But that's what he wants for us. And so sometimes we have to say the thing to know where he wants to take us. And this isn't, don't hear that I'm saying some sort of, like last week. I'm not saying some mind over matter kind of you name it and it's going to happen. Those kind of, not that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that what does God want for us? God wants us to be holy. He's called us to be holy. He's done what he can to make us holy. And in fact, we are holy, that he has set us apart. Kurt tells us all the time that the word holy just means other than. That we're set apart. That if you belong to Christ, you no longer belong to this world. You never no longer belong to yourself. You belong to him. And so you're set apart. You're holy. And so when things start going wrong, when bad things start happening, when temptation starts coming at you, you can say, well, you can give into it, or you can say, no, you know what? I'm holy. God is doing a work in me where I don't have to fall for that. I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. First Peter quotes Leviticus, says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's our calling. So you were chosen, you are holy, and you are loved. You are loved. It's so easy today to feel alone, to feel forgotten, to feel like nobody cares. And I don't know where you're at, but I don't know. But it's sometimes easy to feel like our prayers, like they're going up, and like God's just like, okay, that's nice, and then like just files away somewhere. But like that's not, he's got it. He's put it on the fridge. You know what I mean? He loves you. He loves you. Think about the person that you love the absolute most in this whole world. Think about the person or people that you love the most in this world. Now multiply that by a million. He loves you even more than that. He loves you more than you or I can imagine. He loves you. He cares for you, and he wants what's best for you. You were chosen. You were holy. You were loved. So know who you are. Know who you are. I am chosen. I am holy. I am loved. I think we may need to just say that. I think that's what I really want you to do, is I want that to be something you can just say to yourself, to remind yourself of sometimes. I'm chosen. I'm holy. I'm loved. Say that with me. I'm chosen. I am holy. I am loved. That's where it starts, is we got to know who it is that God's made us to be, who he's called us to be. And if you're a Christian, if you're following Jesus, then you are chosen. You are holy. You are loved. So the second part of the foundation there is in verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word dwell in you. Dwell in you. Why is that so important? In our men's grow group, last semester we read Hebrews, and we talked a lot about drift. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that's not what it says on the screen, but it's chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Lest we drift away from it. Who's ever gone to the beach? And you go to the beach, and what's the first thing you do is if you're staying, you carry all your stuff out there, whatever you got to survive on the beach. You got, blankets and carts and tents and all that. And you plop it all down. You get it all set. And then if you get out in the water, you get out there and you're playing or doing whatever you're doing out in the water for a little while. And you could be playing out there for 30, 40 minutes or something. And then you look back up and where'd my stuff go? Where is it? It was just right there. And then you look and say, oh, I've drifted down the coast. I've drifted down the shore. I'm not where I thought I was anymore. And so we need to lay down some things. We need some things that are set in our life that when we're out and about and going through our day, we can look and say, have I drifted? Am I where I'm supposed to be? The news comes on and we hear something. And I don't care what the news says. What does God say? This person, right, left, whatever, political, whatever, doesn't matter. What's the word of God say? I need the word of God to dwell in me for those situations where God can speak to me. And so I'm not lining up with what somebody else says I need to. I'm lining up with the word of God. I'm lining up there. And so we need the word of God to dwell in us so that we don't drift. And here's the thing is we are surrounded by a lot of voices. And we want to just say, this influence that's coming through, into my life, it may not necessarily be evil, but like we just have a lot of noise in our life. We just have a lot of things that are constantly talking to us, that are constantly giving us opinions or giving us images or whatever. They're constantly everywhere. And all of that is the current of this world. And it's all making us drift one way or the other. It's pushing us away from where we need to be. And so we've got to have stuff laid down where it needs to be. Reed Hastings, he's the one of the founders, the CEO of Netflix. He said that their biggest competitor, their biggest competitor is? Sleep. He said their biggest competitor is sleep. Why? Because attention is the battlefield. Attention is the thing that they want. And I'm not calling out Netflix in particular. I'm saying that's what the battle is being fought for over your soul, is your attention. What can pull you away? That just tells you something about the way the world we live in works. And so we've got to have the word of God dwell in us. How do we have the word of God dwell in us? And the only way I know to have the word of God dwell in us is for us to dwell on the word of God. Is we've got to dwell on it. We've got to not just read it. It's good that we read it. It's good that we study it. It's good that we memorize it. Those are all good things that we need to do. But we need to dwell on it. Don't forget that. We need to spend some time with it. Let it work on us. Let it simmer a little bit. Go through your day and bring it back up to yourself. Remind yourself of it somehow. Dwell on the word of God. So know who you are. Dwell on the word of God. The third thing, verse 16 tells us, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Teaching, we know what that is. Admonishing, I had to Google that one to make sure I knew what that was. And I was mostly right. Admonishing just means to warn or to correct. And so, teaching, we can teach each other, and I don't mind if people teach me, but admonish me? I don't know if I need anybody correcting me, telling me I'm wrong. I don't know if I need that. That's what it says. It says teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. But we've got to have that because we've got to grow together. We need one another. There's ways that I need to challenge you, and there's ways you need to challenge me. There's things that God's done in your life that you can teach me about. There's things that God's done in my life that I can teach you about. There are things that we have a responsibility to one another. That, a lot of things that we can do to follow Christ, we can do outside the walls of the church, outside of the church. But the responsibility we have to teach and admonish one another, we have to do it within the body of Christ. And so if this isn't your church, find a church that you can do that in. Find a church that you can be a part. Not just go to church on Sunday morning, but be a part of the church where you can teach one another and challenge one another. And that the way we do that, y'all know what's coming. Y'all know a Grow Group commercial is incoming right now. The way we do that at 2911 is we do Grow Groups. And this is a place where you're learning and hopefully admonishing one another. You're challenging one another. You're asking tough questions. And, sometimes I know it's hard. Sometimes you're like, why is my Grow Group leader being so hard on me? Why are they asking these questions? Why are they doing it? Because they care about you. And they want to see you grow. They don't want to see you stay where you're at. They want to see you grow. And so listen to be a part of those times. Don't just show up, but be part of them and plug in and give of your time. Because listen, there's some things you need to be challenged on, but there's some things that you need to share with people too. And if you're not in a Grow Group, if you're not in a place where you have that relationship, then there are people that are missing out on the relationship they need to have with you. And so I dare you, I beg you, get involved in a Grow Group. Find the right Grow Group for you. Like we talked about earlier, there are Grow Groups just about every night of the week, one for just about everyone, the different age groups somewhat, but a lot of them are just open to whoever wants to come. We have, couples, young, old, it doesn't matter, but find a group for you, okay? And try one. Just try one out. If you don't like it, just when you show up, just say, hey, I'm trying this out tonight. I'm just going to try this out. I'm going to try some other ones out. Find the right one for me. Don't be afraid to do that. Find the right one for you. Find the one that works best for your schedule. And get some people in your corner. You need people in your corner. You need people that are working on you. And again, if this isn't your church, find a church where you can have this kind of relationship, where you can be teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So find your group. Find your group to support you. And then continuing on in verse 16, it says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the fourth foundational thing, I think, is worship. Is worshiping God. And it lists out three things there. It says psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Psalms are scripture. Hymns are corporate songs of praise. So it's like originally this would have been like you'd sing a song, a hymn, to maybe like a hero returning from battle. And so like that, a group of people would sing a hymn, in his honor. So that's the same thing. It's when we sing a hymn of praise, not to earthly people, but to God. And then a spiritual song is like, if it doesn't cover those other two, it's not found in those other two things, is it spiritual? Is it beneficial to you spiritually? Then sing that together. It says the word there, spiritual, just means that it's not carnal, that it's not worldly, that it's not fleshly, from the flesh. It's from the spirit. So I think that covers a lot of other ways we worship. But the D.L. Moody, he talked about how every person, every culture, every people group that's lived throughout history have always found something or someone to worship. And he said this, it is as natural for man to feel after God as it is for the ivy to feel after a support. Hunger and thirst drive man to seek for food, and there is hunger in the soul that needs satisfying too. Man does not need to be commanded to worship. What we need is to be directed aright. When we worship, I think people think it's a very spiritual thing. I think worshiping is a very human thing. It's a thing that we were made to do. And so if you remove God from the equation, people find something to worship. People are going to find something to worship. And so if we don't direct our worship in the correct way, are you with me? If we don't consciously direct our worship in the right way, we're naturally going to find something to worship in our life. And so we need to regularly be finding ways to worship God. Not just on Sunday mornings. We need excuses to worship daily. We need to worship daily. Because if we are not worshiping daily, we're going to start directing our worship elsewhere. And when we worship, it is about God. You know, a lot of times we talk about that. It is about God when we worship. We make it about Him. But at the end of the day, like, it doesn't do anything for Him. You know, like what I do for God, that doesn't do anything for Him. It doesn't change anything about Him. What does it change? It changes me. So it helps me, but it's about God. It's about God, but it's really for me that I do that. And so worship. Find time in your day to worship. However you want to do it, find some time to recenter and just say, I love you. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you so much for what you do for us. Thank you so much. If you'll just take some time to do that, that'll change so much about your day. It's not. It can be with music or whatever, but just find some time to spend time in worship to God. It's foundational. And then finally, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to cut to it. What does that thing tell me? It assumes that we're going to do something. That we're not just going to sit on the sideline and watch, but that we're going to do something. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing every day? You know, if we had hired somebody to follow you around for a week, a little notepad, and wrote down dates and times and all that, and wrote down your schedule for the past week, and watched you, and we put it all up, and we just threw it up on the screen right here, and we all analyzed it and looked at it, what is it that your life's about? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you're doing? What are you doing for Jesus? You know, it's one thing to be a Christian. It's another thing to do something about it. In my office at home, I have a lot of what I like to call collectibles. They're not. They're trinkets and knickknacks and McDonald's Happy Meal toys and that kind of thing. They're just all over my office. And kids love to come in and find one of them or two of them and play with them and stroll them all over the place and break them and all that kind of stuff. And I always find myself saying, put that down, that's not a toy, but it's Legos or something, you know, it's clearly a toy. But on my desk, one of the weird things I have is, don't judge me, is I have a large like novelty pencil that has the boy band, NSYNC on it. And it's from like the late 90s. I don't remember where I got it. So I don't remember how I ended up with it. But it's on my desk, and Clark loves it. He loves just that it's a huge pencil. And he came in. I'm studying this point right here. And again, Clark makes it into my sermon this week. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have much to say if it wasn't for my kids. Clark walks in, and he's talking to me about stuff and, you know, interrupting me. But then he looks over that pencil and says, Dad, why do you never use that pencil? And I said, well, it's not really for that, is it? And he left, and then I looked back at my notes, and I got to thinking about it. And I was like, that's what we do, right? It's like we have this faith. We have this thing that we say is so life-changing in us. But do we ever use it? Do we ever do something with it? We have this thing that we keep holding on to, but what have we done with it? What have we done with it? What are you doing for Jesus? And yes, we have ministry teams here that you can get involved in. There's places we need you. You know, we have people that are joining all the time. I know we got Amber back in the back helping us on slides today for the first time. She's doing a great job. I heard several. Ollie, I believe, is helping in kids. New. I mean, yeah. And I'm sure there's other people that are jumping in and being used, helping do church, you know, be the church to one another, take care of each other. We're all doing that. So that's one way that you can get involved and do something for Jesus. So if you need one of those places, talk to somebody, you know, ask somebody, look on the website. There's a place to sign up for one of those teams. But if it's beyond that, maybe you're already serving in that way, you're doing something in that way, but maybe there's something bigger and better you need to be doing. Maybe there's something outside of 2911 you could be doing. Maybe there's something you could be doing at your job. There's something you could be doing at your school. There's something that you could be doing in your everyday life to reach somebody, to love somebody, to take care of somebody, to do something and not just sit around and have your Christianity just look nice in your bio on Instagram or whatever, that, you know, you share a quote every now and then on Facebook. I hope your Christian walk is so much deeper than that. Do something. What are you doing for Jesus? Do something. Don't just sit around and look at it. And you don't, I'm glad that we're going to Honduras. I'm jealous that I'm not going to Honduras. But you don't have to go to Honduras to do that. You can do that right here somewhere too. So those are our five things. Know who you are. Dwell on the word. Find your group. Worship daily. Do something for Jesus. Five things. Look at those five things. If we were doing a test this morning, you're going to grade your own papers, okay? What would you say? Where's your weak spot at? Where's the one you need to work on? What's the ones you're already doing? Where's the ones you used to be really good at, but you've probably slacked off on? You know, is there do you need to remind yourself of who you are more often? Do you get down in the dumps and begin thinking in just the wrong things and it's taking you down a dark road? Do you need to remember who it is that God's called you to be? Do you need to dwell on the word? Do you need to find time to spend in the word? And find time, find a group to be a part of? Find some people to get in your corner? Do you need to find some time to worship? Do you need to make it a point every day to spend some time just loving on Jesus? Do you need to do something? Have you not done anything for him lately? And you need to start doing something for him. What is it? What is the thing? Because here's the thing. We can sit here and talk about it all day long. We can, I can send you QR codes and whatever. But until you want to do something about it, it's never going to change. So we can kick the can down the road and we can leave today. You can get up and you can walk out the doors. And 2 months from now, 3 months, 6 years, whatever, we can preach another sermon and encourage you to do these same things. And we'll be right back where we are. But if you will decide right now, before we go any further in the service, what it is, how you're going to do that thing, whatever that thing is, the Holy Spirit is convicting you of and messing with you about and saying, I need to work on that one. How are you going to fix that? What are you going to do? What action are you going to take to make that better? And it may be hard. It may be like our friend Stephen that gave up everything to go chase Loch Ness, you know, chase Nessie, you know. It may be that, but it may be something simple. It may be something easy. And so the worship team's coming back, and I want to read. Now that we've gone through all this, I just want to read that chunk of scripture that we went through kind of piece by piece today. I want to read that again, just in context of everything we've talked about. And I want you to hear it. It's Paul talking to a church. He's encouraging this church. And I wanted you to hear it and let it encourage you today, okay? Put on then. We're taking off the old self. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at Church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.